T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
I have a bone to pick with a very good friend of mine. I wouldn't say very good friend of mine, but a bone to pick with somebody who, let's just say, put out a list, and I feel like one of our very fair state schools was overlooked when it comes to this particular list. Hello, everybody. Wopologic here with you, along with Diesel. It is Straight Up with Sturge on a Monday. The 12th day of August, 2019, 844-GSP-ESPN is the phone number, 71307 is the text line, start your message with ESPN, and you can be a part of the program. I talked earlier with Peter Burns, SEC Network. It'll be on the podcast later if you missed it at radio.com app. Hour and 10 minutes from now, we're going to talk to Bob Ritchie, the head coach of the Furman Paladins men's basketball team, about his team's trip out of the country and what happened with them and how they're looking for the 2019-2020 season. You were talking earlier about the situation where Dabo Swinney has basically been very, very adamant about talking about making actual preseason games happen in college football. James says he believes that FCS squads want to reap the financial benefit of playing the larger school, as well as the potential to upset an FCS school. Why would the FCS want to risk injury before their season starts for no financial reward or potential for an upset? I defer to you, because I have my own answer, but I wanted to make sure, since it was addressed more to you, I want to make sure you have the opportunity to respond.
He's absolutely right. They certainly want the potential for the upset, but let me reread his – I'm sorry, you – kind of shotgun this out. Let me reread his response so that I can fully understand.
Because the FCS squads want to reap the financial benefit. You asked the question.
So they still get the financial benefit by playing the game.
And as well as the potential to upset an FCS school. Why would the FCS want to risk an injury before their season starts for no financial reward or potential for an upset?
Well, the financial reward is there because they are being paid to come in and play as a preseason opponent. They either, you know, they get their guarantee from the big school, or they get their gate, whatever it is, they will be financially compensated. But it's the big school who doesn't want, they're trying to find a method or a way that they don't have to play this FCS in-state opponent anymore. The argument for not wanting to play that game because you don't want to potentially injure one of your players in a game that doesn't mean anything, sure,
people get injured all the time.
People get injured all the time, but this is an opportunity for your players to get real game experience.
I would argue
before the season starts.
I would argue that the coaches, and again, I've had this discussion with NFL head coaches, I've had this discussion with Dabo, and I've had this discussion with Will. I believe coaches get more out of the actual training camp and the controlled scrimmages than they do actual preseason games. Now, if you had a controlled scrimmage, controlled practice type atmosphere with another team involved that was open to the public, I would gather that you would get the FCS coach would get more bang for his or her buck, and that program would get more bang for their buck than playing a regular season game where they get housed by 59.
Sure, and you get to find out where your true deficiencies are.
Exactly.
Because your defense doesn't know what your offense... I mean, what really is the point of an intra-squad scrimmage? You don't learn anything about yourselves.
The injury risk is double.
I mean, so then you ask a question...
The injury risk is double when you practice against yourself. You have a chance to get hurt on offense and defense.
You have a chance to get hurt walking to practice.
Exactly.
NFL squads do it all the time. They do inter-squad practices.
The Panthers are doing it
this week. They do preseason games, which is basically an inter-squad practice. But, I mean, it's an opportunity. And don't you think that even more people would show up if it was sort of a quasi-game? I mean, the spring games are not games.
Would you be more likely, as a fan, as a college football fan, to go to an inter-squad practice with an opposing team or a regular season FBS versus FCS game? 844-GSP-ESPN. That's the question we're asking here from that
perspective.
Especially
if you sell it as a full fan day.
Of course. That's what the fan day should be.
Where you get real access to watch full-on practices. Where you get it's a full-day event and then culminating with a game.
And then there's autographs afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
Open up the stadium. I guarantee you they probably get more than the 20,000 Clemson did for their fan day that you know who was talking about earlier.
What I'm suggesting is essentially combining a fan day and a spring game.
Yes.
Where a spring game is no longer played against your own squad, but it's played against an in-state FCS.
Well, the spring game stinks. The spring game stuff stinks.
But I've been to Clemson spring games,
yes.
And they're pulling in 35,000 to 40,000 people at a spring game.
You're not wrong. You're very, very right.
Sell those tickets. Sell those autograph opportunities.
So I have a bone to pick, I mentioned, with my good friend Joan Neeson, who wrote this article for Sports Illustrated. They've been doing a bunch of these little feature vignettes in celebration of college football's 150th anniversary. And I plan to discuss this with her in private, I should say. She did do well to put my college town's alma mater situation right there in the middle of that, Columbia, Missouri. These are the top 10 college towns she ranked. Would you like me to go in ascending order or descending order?
Give me the best first.
Best was...
Save the best for last.
Save the best for last. So number 10 was Charlottesville, Virginia. This is the only one that I have a qualm with of the ones that I've been to. Not a fan of Charlottesville, Virginia. If I was going to put another school there, I would put Clemson, South Carolina. I'd put Clemson there as number 10, honestly. Because I think that they belong on this list as a college town.
It is 100% a college town. Without it, it would not exist.
That basically is what a college town is.
Without it, it's Pickens.
If the college was not there, it would not exist.
Right.
Number 9 is College Station, Texas. Fantastic place. I love that place. I love going there. I'm sad I won't be there because of the fact that that game is all the way in the middle of November. And I can't plan that far out as far in advance. 8 is Knoxville, Tennessee. I had a qualm with my friend Colin Taylor of Gamecock Central. He does not like Knoxville, Tennessee. I find it very awesome. Vol Navy, all the rest of it. Oxford, Mississippi is 7th on the list, home of Ole Miss. Been there a couple of times. Highly vouched for their tailgating atmosphere. Can't say much for the town outside of football season. But during football season, they hide the ugly people, and everybody there is beautiful. I've at least been convinced of that. Number 6 is Boulder, Colorado. Not necessarily a big fan, although it is the home of where Pete Coors helped basically invent the Coors beer. So if you are a fan of that, Golden, Colorado, very, very nearby, you can have that. Columbia, Missouri is 5. Ann Arbor, Michigan is 4. I could take or leave it. Number 3, Austin, Texas. That's one I think is the one that is kind of the exception of the rule that we made.
I wouldn't even consider Austin a college town.
Well, trust me when I tell you it's still a very, very fun city to be in.
Yes.
It's kind of like what Nashville is. Nashville is a college town technically because of Vanderbilt and Belmont, but as a result, you know, people don't think of Nashville as a college town. Athens, Georgia is number 2. I would have had it 1 because I think Athens, Joan points out, 80 bars in a single square mile, more bars per capita than any other city in the United States. Fantastic place for live music. A lot of live music is traces its roots there. REM, B-52s, Widespread Panic, and the like. And Madison, Wisconsin is number 1. I've never been to Madison.
Well, I've been to Ann Arbor. I can tell you that I don't know about the town itself. We didn't get downtown. But the tailgating atmosphere around football is incredible there.
Because you went to the App State Michigan game.
Yep. I've been to Knoxville. I've been to both of the App State Michigan games.
Yes.
I've been to Knoxville. I've been to Athens. I've done a lot more drinking in Athens than anywhere else.
Probably.
You know, I experienced the downtown of Athens. And
I don't think Charlottesville belongs on this list.
I've never been.
Charlottesville sounds more like a trip that's like a field trip than actually an actual trip to go see a football game. That and everything I've heard about Charlottesville from my upbringing in Northern Virginia is that Charlottesville is the place where basically you have, you know, the Bermuda shorts and the rugby polos, the visors, and wine and red Solo cups. It's all I hear about with Charlottesville. It is very uppity,
it
very
classy,
very bro-y, and just not a place where I'd want to be.
Wine in red Solo
cups. You have people who look like dads at 19 and 22. It's almost kind of like what a Duke basketball game looks like. Too soon? No, but I don't think that Charlottesville belongs on this list. I think Clemson belongs on this list before Charlottesville belongs on this list.
Absolutely. I've never been to Charlottesville. I don't know what the condition is, but when you look at growth within a college town and the growth that has occurred in Clemson on this unprecedented run, Clemson is there's no way that Charlottesville is a better college town atmosphere than that.
And this also speaks to something that our good friend, resident persona non grata, at least in the upstate, Paul Feinbaum, was talking about, because we were talking about that last week with his comments about he doesn't understand how Clemson is making things happen. You know, there were some anonymous coaches who were speaking to the folks at Athlon. And one of the comments that stood out really spoke to me personally, Diesel, because basically when it comes to how Clemson has gotten the success that they've had, it's all about how they've spent their money, not just with the school and the athletic department, but the town as well. This is something that was said basically I will find this here. They're a step and a half past everyone in the ACC. You can't even call them an SEC-caliber program. They're an Alabama-caliber school, a Georgia-caliber school. Literally, coaches in our league, he's talking about the ACC, have been talking about this for almost a decade now. We could see the money they were raising and spending and how it was translating. They're a war machine. 844-GSP-ESPN. 71307 is the phone, is the text line. Start your message with ESPN, and that is how you get in touch with us. Texter from the 864 says, the best cooks are App State grads. They set up shop in Camp Broadstone area of Boone. Been that way for 25 years. Would you stump for Boone, North Carolina, as one of the top 10 college towns in all of America, or no?
Top 10 at all? No, I wouldn't do that. But it is, it's another one of those examples of a town that really would be almost nothing without the university. There's an actual quote from the mayor of Valley Crucis, North Carolina, which is another small town, or Banner Elk, excuse me, Banner Elk, another small, beautiful, quaint college, beautiful, quaint town up the road. Actually, is a college town with Lees McRae. But the quote from the mayor in like 1914 was, I remember when the only way to get to Boone was to be born there.
Right.
So Boone was nothing.
Right.
Boone was absolutely nothing. Of course, he was, you get to look back at that as a little bit of historical shade throwing because it's funny.
Exactly.
But right, the town wouldn't exist without the university.
We found another non-conference game for South Carolina men's basketball per our friend David Kloniger of the Post and Courier. Apparently Cleveland State will be welcoming a game against the South Carolina Gamecocks. They'll be playing South Carolina in Colonial Life Arena coming up later on this season. That is the 15th of November. So Cleveland State, who made some waves with a NCAA tournament victory a couple of years ago, that'll be a game that's part of South Carolina's non-con. Still don't know the dates on the Clemson game and the Coastal Carolina game, but most of their other non-cons are already known. And again, an hour from now, we're going to talk about basketball on the Furman side of things with Furman head coach Bob Ritchie. 844-GSP-ESPN. Full menu to talk about when it comes to the locals. And also, we want to ask you this question later on in the hour. Which coach between Taggart, Franklin, Ferentz, or Kiffin, coaches who were said by anonymous college football coaches last year as overrated, which of those four, Taggart, Franklin, Ferentz, or Kiffin, still belongs on the list amongst the overrated? At 844-GSP-ESPN, we'll take those comments. And coming up next, we'll hear a little bit from Brent Venables, the Clemson defensive coordinator, after Clemson's opening scrimmage of fall camp from over the weekend. Willie P in for Sturge, along with Diesel. This is ESPN Upstate.
T
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Join Straight Up with Sturge tomorrow. Diesel and I will be at Frankie's New York Pizza on the Parkway in Greenville. Very, very excited. First remote with you and I.
Incredible pizza.
I am. So I haven't had it yet, only because I wanted my first time having it, because I knew we had the remote coming up. I wanted it to be organic from that perspective.
And you want it to be in store.
Yes.
Because that way it's as fresh and hot as it could possibly be.
Oh, of course.
Straight out of the oven to your mouth.
My father used to work in a shoe store that was two doors down from a pizza joint, and he used to have to run to go and get the pizza. It was basically a gopher for this old man in his shoe store, and he used to have to go and run and get the pizza every once in a while from the guy two doors down. And the guy was so particular about the way he liked his pizza. He said he wanted the pizza on a tray, like on the pan or whatever. He said, bring it out on the pan, two doors down, and don't bring it in the box, because he said the box ruined the taste. That's how crazy this guy was.
There's somebody whose job it is at Pizza Hut or wherever to work on box technology.
Oh, yes.
So that the flavor of the cardboard
does not
enter the pizza.
It's odd. I can't say that I can respond to that particular claim.
I believe
there are some people who put the tissue paper, which apparently is supposed to protect something, the tissue paper above the pizza box.
Well, when you sit on a doctor's table, that tissue paper is supposed to protect your butt from germs, or the other way around.
That tissue paper isn't protecting thing.
It's butcher paper that they put down to keep your butt sweat off of their table.
When you said butcher paper and butt, all that made me think about is morning barbecue now. That's literally all you just said.
Well, I was going to say butt stuff, but then that just... They don't want your butt stuff on the table.
Oh, no. There's kids in the car. It's 5 o'clock. What are we doing?
Yeah, and they're laughing their butts off right now.
Have you ever smoked a pork butt before?
Yes, I have.
You have?
Yes, it's incredible.
That is something that I want to get into. I want to get into.
You got to triple smoke it.
To meet smoking.
You got to triple smoke it.
I want to take up I want to take up smoking in 2020.
Cook it whole, break it down, remove the fat, smoke it. Break it down, remove the fat, smoke it.
What I want to do is I want to do a brisket, though, also. I would love to do a brisket. Like, build the pit, get a nice big hunk of beef brisket, like a Texas-style brisket is what I'd want to do. You're looking at me funny. You're looking at me funny.
Do you have building skills?
I do. I can build.
Okay.
You want to hear a funny story?
He's like, I'll show you my Lego Death Star.
This is very, very off script, but I love telling this story here because it involves South Carolina. So when I lived in Houston, as you may or may not know, Southeast Texas has a particular style of barbecue that runs contrary to what we have here in our great state of South Carolina. And I am of the...
Different meat, different flavors.
I am of the opinion that all barbecue is good barbecue, no matter the form. So I am not a barbecue purist by any means. I will try and eat every barbecue that is out there. I've had some very good barbecue in this state. I've had some very good barbecue in Memphis. I've had some great barbecue in Missouri and Texas. Most of the states that are known for barbecue, I would say, are very, very good and acceptable to my palate. But when I was in Houston, I came across a lady from North Myrtle Beach. She and her husband were in town for a convention for their son. It was a robotics convention. And they were asking me about stuff to do in town. Well, if you know anything about the city of Houston, the only thing really to do there is go to a sporting event, go to NASA, or eat and drink copiously. So, because that's basically kind of what the town is. So I gave them a bunch of restaurant recommendations, including a Tex-Mex joint, my favorite burger joint, a couple of other places, steak and whatnot. And then I get, and then I said, now, hear me out. There's this one barbecue place that's down there that if you happen to like beef barbecue, it is a fantastic joint, one of the best that I've ever been to. You would have thought I asked this lady to go play in traffic. Or I swear. Like the look on her face. You ever seen somebody's mouth agape? Her mouth could have been filled up with an entire pork butt. She said, I never in my life ever have anyone's barbecue other than my own. And my barbecue is pork barbecue, son. Pork barbecue.
Son.
She called me son. And this wasn't too long ago, so it wasn't like I was.
Did she have any barbecue on hand for you to try?
No, she had no barbecue.
This lady should always have a Yeti cooler.
Yes.
With her pork barbecue right there, just a little Tupperware.
I wouldn't put this place's pork on par with the pork I have in South Carolina, but their beef brisket and their beef rib, pretty darn good.
Mm-hmm.
But you would have thought that I was asking her to have her tooth pulled by an amateur in order to before trying this beef barbecue. She sounded so insulted. This was a tractor salesperson from North Myrtle Beach. I've told this story a couple different times. I love telling it.
Because Myrtle Beach is known for their barbecue.
From North Myrtle Beach.
Still.
I wanted to make sure I put that out. Yeah. She's from North Myrtle Beach. She wanted to make sure she told me she Myrtle. was not from Myrtle Beach. She is from North Myrtle
Where
Beach.
Where are you from, means Myrtle?
Means she's not a tourist, but again, who knows? 844-GSP ESPN. Like I said, I am not a barbecue purist by any means, and I will subscribe to liking barbecue of any place when it comes here as we sit on a Monday. And again, I didn't mean that totally to go from a complete tangent where it was, but you know what? I felt the need. I felt compelled on a day like today to tell that story. Here on ESPN Upstate, we're going to hear from Brent Venables and the Clemson football team, who had its scrimmage coming up, its first scrimmage of the fall camp on Saturday. South Carolina in the process of having theirs, and they will close out their scrimmage coming up here on a little bit later on this afternoon. We're going to try to have some Will Muschamp here in the Upstate. Let's hear from Brent Venables his thoughts on the scrimmage that took place on Saturday.
Good in some spots. Inconsistent early. First three drives come out and play pretty good. And then go through about four drives there, not so good with the attack in the swarm. Had a few guys down in that second group, so some threes had to step up and saw some good things and got exposed at times. Responded and really played well for seven or eight of the next nine drives. I think 10 of the first 19 drives were punts. So some really good stuff there. But we just got to play more physical, more discipline, better understanding of, you know, what not only I'm doing, but people around you. So you know when you can shoot your gun, play aggressive, turn your shoulders, spill, lever, all of those things. And just got to play better in, you know, the back seven, communicating at times when they give you certain looks. Got to be ready for it. And for a few guys, you know, being the first time it's full speed live, handled it well a few times, not so good at others, situationally, showed up in some short yardage, which was pleasing, being physical there. And in the goal line situation, some really good stuff there. Had a pick six for a touchdown, made some good plays. But overall, again, just inconsistent, got to play better, got to be more physical. Guys, you know, got to know what to do. And again, come out and start a little stronger. Can't go in lulls. You know, can't play, you know, inconsistently. Got to do the little things well.
I loved seeing Brent Venables on Saturday. That was he is one of my favorite assistant coaches that I have come across in my time covering football. He is just so cerebral, so intense, and a man who's never satisfied. The pick six he mentioned, 100-yard pick six, in fact, right at the goal line on a part of a goal line stand for Clemson's defense was by Isaiah Simmons, and I just find myself marveling at what he has done, he being Simmons, to take the position that I think was basically crafted to fit the skill set of Dorian O'Daniel, who's now in the National Football League with the Kansas City Chiefs. He has turned that position and transformed it into his own. And I asked Brent Venables on Saturday how he continues to increase the expectations of himself with regards to what he's done with that position.
Again, he had a really good, strong finish, and I want more. Isaiah knows that. I want more. I want him to be a dominant player. And so everything that goes along with that, you got to bring it, and you got to bring it every day. Every day, not most of the time, every day. And so when he does that, and then he can decide on how great he wants to be. But it takes that. First of all, you got to show up every day at a high level, ready to fight, compete, lead, strain, all of those things, every day, not most of the time.
844-GSP-ESPN, 71307 is the text line. Let's go to Bob, who has called us. He wants to weigh in on a little barbecue debate. What's up, Bob? How are you?
Hey, guys. Actually, I want to weigh in on two things.
Go ahead.
Number one, I want to weigh in on the Virginia Charlottesville Stadium kind of situation, and two, the barbecue.
Sure.
I'll make the Virginia one kind of quick. I've only been there once, and it was like 20-some-odd years ago. It was a long time ago. That's when Virginia couldn't beat Clemson, you know, if they had basically the New York Giants on the field.
Right.
But I remember being there, and honest to God, that stadium, I mean, it was official turf, if I remember correctly. It had columns like the Roman columns kind of things in the far end zone. You could eat off the floor. It was that clean.
Oh, yeah.
And all the libraries and all of that on campus, and like you said, folks walking around in their shorts with their sweaters around their neck and all that. I mean, I had nothing bad to say about this, but it's not in front of Clemson. I can promise you that, as far as experience.
Right. I'm there with you. I'm there with you, man. You want to know something? The first thing about Virginia that gives you the sense of just how uppity of themselves they are, the full given name, I'm keeping you on the line, Bob, because I want to hear your point on the barbecue. The full given name, their full given name for their football stadium is the Carl Smith Center at David A. Harrison Field inside Scott Stadium. That is the formal name of their entire football complex where they play their football games. The Carl Smith Center at David A. Harrison Field inside Scott Stadium. How full of yourself do you have to be to have three darn names on your football stadium like that?
Hey, does that not speak volumes, correct?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. Why are we rewarding them? Go ahead. Make your second point. So
we're not. I'm not.
Good.
Let's jump off on this barbecue thing.
I'm ready.
I think you get a kick out of this. I am a very good cook, and I'm a very good smoker, and I do barbecue quite often, and I make a thing called hash, which Diesel knows all about. You probably don't.
Oh, I know. I've lived here 3 years. I know about good hash now.
All right. I make some of the best in the world. But anyway,
my dad was marveled by the hash thing the first time he saw it, too, for the first time. He loves it, too.
Yeah, people from not here, they lose their mind. It's so good
it's
the
so
first
good.
Time they eat it. Mm. But having said that, I was fortunate enough to be able to go to Texas for the first inaugural race, the NASCAR race there in Texas. That looks a lot like Charlotte.
I've been to that track before. It's a nice track.
All right. So I was a guest of Bruton and those guys in those days. So we went down and we had our cookers and all that, and we're out there cooking what we know to be barbecue, and the Texas folks are out there cooking what they know to be barbecue. Mm-hmm. And my guys are just shaking their head going, what are they thinking? And I had this old-timer come up to me, and he said, listen, don't knock it till you try it. And I said, what are you talking about? He goes, you like a ribeye steak, right? I said, I love a ribeye steak. He goes, basically, that's steak on a stick. And if you don't believe it, go try it. And I did, and it was wonderful. And then I ate some of their brisket, and then they ate some of our Southern barbecue with mustard sauce, and they flipped their, and they couldn't believe how good that was. So I'm telling you, I think barbecue is a Southern thing, and I don't know how you can call the Texas barbecue, because I don't really think it is. I don't know how to call it what it is, but it's wonderful. I think the brisket name stands tall. I mean, you can't beat that.
Mm.
But if you say Texas barbecue, beef barbecue, you know, people in the South just, they'll turn their head and just go,
well,
what
that's
do
what
you
the beef, beef barbecue is the brisket. That's basically what that is. That's what that is.
But see, I don't like to pigeonhole myself to one type of meat.
That he sound, you know what he sounds like? He sounds like my New York based father when he talks about pizza. The way he talks about pizza, he says all other places have things that they call pizza, which is good food, but it's not pizza. That's kind of what Bob is saying about barbecue. So there you go. Texter from the 864 says Isaiah Simmons will go in the first round next year, first linebacker picked. And that's the thing. He's a linebacker who plays basically a slot corner, and he is somebody who is a very big part of that Clemson defense. I would even go so far as to call him the MVP of Clemson's 2019 defense because I think he's their best player on it. But like you said, I don't want to I feel like why can't we live in a world that has both? And they're both called the same thing. It is what it is.
If you're from the South and you won't eat beef, barbecued beef, whatever you want to call it.
Barbecued beef brisket.
Then you are limiting yourself. And you're not experiencing the deliciousness of beef and brisket.
And I like some good hash now. And also the stuff that they cook with barbecue. It is ESPN Upstate on a Monday. ESPNUpstate.com. All right, we are going to give you the results of our poll question, which involves the four overrated coaches going into the 2018 season. Which of them still is on the list in your mind? I'll give you my answer when we come back on ESPN Upstate. There's a lot of thoughts going on in my head right now. I've got, like, the worst ADD right now because there's, like, three different things that I want to go in on. We do have the non-sports story of the day that will make you smile and smirk coming up about 10 minutes from now. Let's just say it's another edition of the game that's sweeping the nation, Florida versus Ohio. It will sweep the nation. There's, like, three different things. The Antonio Brown news, him losing the grievance, no surprise there. We're going to talk about that coming up here in about 15 minutes time because I have some thoughts on that. Go ahead.
I'll ask this question when we get to that point in the show.
So I just saw that Jane Slater said that it is in fact true that Dak Prescott turned down $30 million per year and he wants 40. Are we sure that he's worth that money?
No, he's not worth that money.
Especially without Zeke in the lineup?
No, he's not worth that money, but we're in a world where you have to pay your quarterback big money to show him that you care. Used to be flowers and chocolates showed that you cared. Now it's $40 million.
That doesn't make any sense. Tweeter on our list about the top 10 college football. This is Bobby who says, Clemson and Auburn should be on that list. Any list of college football towns that doesn't include Clemson or Auburn is bogus anyway. And I do want to point out, I was trying to, when we were talking earlier to Peter Burns, I was trying to drop a Tumors drug reference, and I wasn't able to get that off the top of my cerebellum, so I apologize to the fine folks of Auburn. I find Auburn to be a very nice, quaint town. We should rank the SEC college towns, because I don't really know if there's really in the ACC outside of Clemson that are worth a darn. Are there any?
Winston-Salem's not making the list.
No, Winston-Salem. I've been to
Chapel
Winston-Salem.
Chapel Hill's a great college town.
I like Durham better than I like Chapel Hill, quite honestly. Hot take. Blacksburg. I love
Blacksburg's a great college town.
I love Blacksburg. Not Miami, not Syracuse. Although Dinosaur Barbecue, I know people here might think it's heresy, but it's not our. It's not too bad. Although I hate Syracuse, so I can't say anything nice about them. Chestnut Hill is more quaint than you would think it would be. Probably more fun than you would think it would be. What else? Is there any? Tallahassee's a hole.
All of Florida is a hole. What are we talking about?
As is Gainesville.
Gainesville is a hole.
Gainesville's a hole. But he said Auburn. I would put Auburn in that. I'd put Auburn in that.
Would you consider Baton Rouge a college town?
Yes.
I mean, I know.
Although I will give you one beef about Baton Rouge. Baton Rouge, I went there on a non-football weekend. I've been there for a football game, and I've been there on a non-football weekend. In a football game, it's very, very easy to find where the libations are. It was very, very hard for me to find an establishment to perch mm-hmm. on a non-football weekend. And if I can't find it, it doesn't exist.
See, I think there are three different tiers of college town. A tier one college town is a town that would not exist without the university.
Yes.
That's tier one.
Yes.
Tier two is a town that it was already established or would do just fine. Baton Rouge would do just fine because Baton Rouge is a center of seafood right. and shipping and all of that. So Baton Rouge is a tier two college town. Without LSU, the town would be just fine.
Right. Injury news from South Carolina's first close scrimmage. Evan Hinson, irregular heartbeat, is going to be out for about 6 to 8 weeks. You remember he was splitting time with the football team and the basketball team, too, before finally giving up basketball and focusing on football only. But that's a big hit to South Carolina's tight end depth. But we'll get a little bit more from Will Muschamp here later on. We did want to reveal you the poll question we've been putting up on our Twitter at ESPN Upstate. The question we asked is, there was an article that was written a year ago by CBS Sports that basically brought up the situation involving overrated coaches. Which coach featured in the 2018 list of most overrated coaches most deserves to be on this list in 2019? And my selection jives with the selections made by our esteemed poll electorate. Willie Taggart, 56%. The highest on that list. Look, I wasn't necessarily somebody who believed all the baloney behind why Jimbo Fisher left to go to Texas A&M. And I don't know if there really was as much a mess there that Willie Taggart inherited that is basically out of Willie Taggart's control. But that was a football team a year ago, Diesel, that to me looked like the most undisciplined group of players I've seen on the major college level. Despite the fact that people say that there's talent there, I just don't know if he's the man to lead them. I really don't. James Franklin's second on this list, and I really don't know why. Like what's our beef with James
Penn
Franklin?
Penn State's been pretty good under James Franklin.
What is our beef with James Franklin? Like, honestly, like what is the – why does he always get labeled like this? I mean, he went 11-3 in 16, 11-2 in 17 – 9-4 in 2018. It's been there 6 years. Overall, 45-21, 69-36 overall. I mean, you could say he's never won a conference championship outside of 2016. They won the Big Ten title that year. I don't understand why we're saying he's overrated. What's the deal here?
I mean, he's still dealing with issues. I mean, I know that O'Brien took the brunt of the Joe Paterno situation.
Right.
But it's not as if James Franklin hasn't still had to deal with that on a small level. So anything he does, any 10-win season that he has at Penn State is an excellent season.
I mean, maybe you could think about the fact that they started the 2017 season ranked number 6th, finished number 8. 18 season they started ranked 10th, finished 17th. So maybe the high heart. I mean, I don't know, but who knows from that perspective?
Is it the fading fast, the fading at the end that happened last season?
Could be. I mean, people said the same thing about Kevin Sumlin at Texas A&M, but he was fading at a much more steep drop, I should say. Apparently, Tavian Feaster pulled from practice at South Carolina because of an infected tooth. That's the same tooth that kept him off the field to start South Carolina's practice. But still working on that. They say he's basically been in practice but has not been in contact drills. So that part of it is at least hurting him from that perspective. So we'll at least get you a little bit more on that. And again, some more of the thoughts from Will Muschamp off of that scrimmage we heard earlier from Dabo Swinney. If you missed it, again, it is on our podcast, radio.com app, as we continue. The non-sports story of the day will make you smile and smirk. Another edition of Florida versus Ohio. Let's just say it involves hot weaponry. Not the kind of hot weaponry that you want to see.
Hey!
It's ESPN Upstate. Tomorrow on ESPN Upstate, we are on location at Frankie's New York Pizza, 101 the Parkway in Greenville. Diesel and I'll be out there. Hope you're enjoying our show today. We've been enjoying bringing it to you, getting some more thoughts about the South Carolina scrimmage from Will Muschamp. He says that the backup quarterback competition between Ryan Helinski and DeCarrion Joyner still very hotly contested. No separation between those two. Of course, Jay Urich was part of that quarterback room until the spring when he separated from them to become a wide receiver. And A.J. Turner only played cornerback today, did a nice job, really nice job. So that's two members of the in-state programs that basically are dealing with position switches from one side of the football to the other. Of course, Darion Kendrick doing the same thing for Clemson, and A.J. Turner doing that for South Carolina. He is still going to have a role in the offense per Will Muschamp, but he only played defense today. And that Eric Douglas would probably start the season at the right guard spot if the season opened tomorrow for South Carolina. That is, of course, a position of hot competition with Douglas there between him and Javon Gwynn. He is also the backup at both tackle positions as well for South Carolina. Again, a full breakdown we will get from Will Muschamp. We're looking possibly bottom of the next hour, around 6:35, for that particular update from Will Muschamp here coming up. Bob Ritchie, Furman basketball head coach, will join us in about 25 minutes to get his thoughts on his team's trip out of the country. Pardon me. The non-sports story of the day that will make you smile and smirk. It's another edition of the game that sweeps the nation: Florida versus Ohio. Sheriff's deputies say that during a traffic stop Saturday, they discovered a cache of weapons, which include an apparent live hand grenade.
Hi-o.
A narcotics unit conducting a traffic stop when the weapons were discovered. Basically, an M67 hand grenade with pin in place and also was live.
That's just a paperweight. It's perfectly safe.
Is it?
Yeah. According to the military, it is.
Sheriff's office responded to ensure the grenade was safe for removal and destruction. The sheriff's department said thank you to the narcotics department for responding to assist them. They're grateful to have such an excellent working relationship with neighboring jurisdictions. The gentleman, Donald Reed Jr., has been charged with multiple counts of possession of firearms and ammunition by a convicted felon. That's the bad part, according to the Post. Did this happen, Diesel, in Florida or Ohio, with a hand grenade found live in a gentleman's car during a narcotic traffic stop?
I'm going Florida.
You think?
Yeah, that's straight out of Miami-Dade County.
Sarasota, Florida,
to
be exact.
Got the right state, though.
You are right. It is Florida. DeSoto County, Florida. Who has a grenade in their car?
You know that any hard bump could pull the pin on that
exactly.
thing.
Exactly. That's the worst place to have it.
And my guess is it was just rolling around in the trunk.
It probably
was not secured inside of a foam box that was padded so that it would absorb any shocks. No, it was probably just rolling around in the trunk.
Is this guy waiting for the rapture or something? Is that what that is?
No, he's trying to get there quicker.
Is that a fact?
Yeah.
He wants to get there because of the... I get it. I see what you're saying.
Because of the grenade, man. He wants to die sooner.
You can tweet the show at Willie P Style or at ESPN Upstate. We were talking about Dak Prescott earlier asking for $40 million a year versus $30 million. Jim, who tweets us, he says he's high if he thinks he's worth that. So bad. There's so many really just bad things about the NFL right now that, again, this is why Diesel doesn't watch the National Football League.
Can't stand it.
Well, we're gonna talk about one of those reasons next involving Antonio Brown and this whole rigmarole and what I would call nonsense regarding him, his feet, and his helmet. Nothing that sounds good to me to be talking about. It's ESPN Upstate.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.